I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, it's Owen here from the Scottish History Podcast. Welcome to the first ever Scottish History Podcast Whiskey Wednesday, where every Wednesday, or near enough every Wednesday, I'm hoping to release a new review on some whiskies from around Scotland, preferably single malts. This week, I'm going to be starting with one of my absolute favourites, as I've mentioned in the podcast a number of times before. So why don't you join me for the first ever episode of the Scottish History Podcast's Whiskey Wednesday. So yeah, folks, I've been talking about this idea for quite a while now in doing whiskey reviews. I do really, really enjoy drinking whiskey. I don't get much of an opportunity to anymore because, well, I work night shifts, so I don't really have any kind of social life when it comes to outside of work as such. Also, drinking first thing in the morning, I feel just a little bit strange. Although for me, it's night time, you know. But anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tomatin this week for the first ever episode, and most importantly, to introduce to you the Tomatin 12-year-old single malt whiskey. Now, I don't know, this is probably a rubbish camera to be using, but this is Tomatin 12-year-old single malt whiskey, and this was the first ever whiskey that I fell in love with, so understandably would then of course have to be the first whiskey that I would review. So first of all, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tomatin Distillery and basically what they do and where they've come from. Of course, wouldn't be the Scottish History Podcast without there being a little bit of history involved. So Tomatin has been a long firm favourite of mine basically since the first time that I ever went to the distillery, and as I mentioned before, it was the first ever single malt whiskey that I fell in love with. The story behind it was I was training as a tour guide, and on our way back from Loch Ness one day we decided to stop in to the Tomatin Distillery and we got a free tasting. We got to watch their marketing video as well. And, I mean, nothing tastes better than free whiskey, of course. But after the first sip of that whiskey, I knew that I had to go and buy myself a bottle. And I went and bought myself a bottle. And since then, I think I've bought 2, 3, 4, or 5. In fact, just down here, this is a distillery-only bottling, which I bought myself for my birthday a couple of years ago. Now, this was... let me see, this particular bottle was distilled on the 18th of January in 2002 and it was bottled on the 21st of January 2019. So I think that makes it 13 years old. It's Pedro Jimenez cask as well, so this was a very rare treat for me for my birthday. It comes in this lovely little cardboard box. It's got magnets and everything. It's absolutely fantastic. Lovely display box. But even better display box than that one is this one. And it's an absolute beast, especially when you've got a bottle of whiskey on it. And this lovely lovely wooden box. Now this box is actually from a 36 year old bottle of whiskey. I've never bought a 36 year old bottle of whiskey, so I'm not going to tell you where I got this box from, but you know, it's a secret that's safe with all of us. But inside of this one is a limited edition 15 year old Muscatel wine cask finish Tomatin. So yeah, very nice. But I just needed something, a placeholder, a whiskey to put into this box. And yeah, it's very unbalanced because the shape of the
the bottom of the box to hold the bottle is wrong. So yeah, this is all a bit strange and new to me, being in front of the camera. But yeah, so I have bought many other whiskies before. I've also mentioned the 14-year-old. I've got a couple of bottles of that back in back at my mum and dad's, which of course I cannot visit in the moment due to lockdown, as they're in a completely different district from me. However, I've also got quite a number of bottles of the 12-year-old single malt too. So basically, Tamatan is a very small village. It's about 18 miles south of the city of Inverness in the Highlands. That makes Tamatan single malt a Highland single malt. It's a bit confusing because the original name for the company was the Tamatan Spey Limited. So that makes you think that it might be a Speyside. However, it's not. It is a Highland whiskey based in the Highlands of Scotland. There's probably been an illegal, or there probably was an illegal still on the site of Tamatan Distillery from sometime in the 1500s, so the 16th century, but the first ever distillery, so the first legal distillery built at Tamatan was in 1897. So it was established in 1897. Nice and easy for me to remember because I'm 1987, was my birth year. So yeah, 1987, so 1897, nice and easy for me to remember. And again, that was first established under the name the Tamatan Spey Group Limited. This company went bankrupt only 9 years later, in 1906. In 1909, the distillery was once again reopened under new ownership. This ownership continued until 1986, when the Tamatan Spey Group Limited was liquidated. That same year, change that, it's 1984, the Tamatan Spey Group went into liquidation. In 1986, however, the distillery was taken over by Takara Holdings, and the distillery then became known as the Tamatan Distilleries Company Limited. Now, Tamatan itself means hill of the juniper bush. Juniper wood doesn't smoke. So apparently it was the top choice of the illicit distillers back in the day to basically heat up the stills in order to boil the mash to turn into spirit. So it didn't smoke, so it was a particular favourite of the illicit distillers. Easier to hide. Now, I do have some notes here, so if you do see me reading, that's what I'm reading. But basically, between its inception and 1958, the distillery operated with only two stills. After that date, they added more stills, up to 13, if my memory serves me correctly, by 1964. However, capacity was increased even further, and by 1974, the distillery was running 12 wash stills and 11 spirit stills. This makes 23 stills in total. This made Tamatan the biggest distillery in Scotland, producing over 12.5 million litres of spirit every single year. Mental. Now, the majority of the spirit that was made at Whiskey was sold on to third parties such as Chivas Regal, J&B Whiskey, and of course Johnny Walker. This was for making their blended whiskies. Tamatan's main business was making spirit and whiskey to be put into blended whiskies, basically. About 80% of the company at that point. However, they were one of the very few in the beginning to offer their own single malt whiskies. They first of all offered a 5-year-old single malt up until the point where they could also release a 10-year-old single malt. Now, due to declining sales of blended whiskey in the 1980s, that's basically what caused the distillery to be liquidated in 1984, and for Takara Shuzo to purchase the company in 1986, as whiskey was still quite big in Japan. This purchase made Tamatan the first fully owned Japanese distillery anywhere in Scotland. Ever since then, Tomatin have gone from strength to strength. They now run 12 stills, so they've taken out basically half of the stills that they had to make it 6 wash and 6 spirit. So ever since then, Tomatin have gone from strength to strength. They now run 12 stills in total with 6 wash and 6 spirit stills, and they have the capacity to produce around 5.25 million litres of spirit every year. So they basically, again, they've just kind of halved what they were able to produce back in the day, and therefore taking a little bit more time and a little bit more care into everything that they do. However, the emphasis is of course now on their single malt range, not necessarily on their blended whiskey ranges. Now, talking about their ranges, like most distilleries, Tomatin has a number of ranges available. Their core range consists of the Legacy, which is also known as Ducasse in America. That is this one. It is a non-age statement. Some people prefer to call them NAS, but non-age statement whiskey. The Legacy or Ducasse, which is D-U-L-C-H-A-S, and that's where it's known. That's what it's known as over the other side of the Atlantic. So they have the Legacy or the Ducasse. They then have the 12-year-old. Then it's the 14, the cask strength, an 18-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 36-year-old. Now, these are the core range. Those basically, at this moment in time, you can buy at any point throughout the course of the year. They're always available at this particular time. Some things will probably be removed as time moves on, but at the moment, that's what it is. Again, that's Legacy or Ducasse. The 12-year-old, the cask strength, the 14-year-old, the 18-year-old, 30 and 36. They also produce a peaty or a smoked whiskey called Kubokan or Kubokan, as well as the antiquary ranges of blended whiskies. Now, Kubokan is really, really nice. It's very good if you're able to get a hold of some. I do have one, maybe 2 bottles back at my mum and dad's somewhere. But it is a very, very nice whiskey. It's basically Tomatin, but with some added smoke. Very, very nice. So as I mentioned before, I'm going to today review the whiskey that I fell in love with. The first one from the first sip that I knew that I was going to fall in love with. Now, of course, I am going to be biased because of that particular reason, because it is the first one that I did truly love. But it is essentially like going back home. You know, I've drank a lot of whiskey in between that first ever sip of my kind of first ever proper single malt. I've drank a lot of whiskey since then. So it's kind of like going back home. You know, sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. So we'll just see what we think. So first off, I do have to thank Jennifer Masson and Lauren Braithwaite at Tomatin for organising and sending me these samples. I'm not being paid for this review either, just in case anybody starts worrying. Again, I like to keep things as honest as possible, and I'm not really into getting paid to do stuff, you know, for advertising and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I do really like Tomatin products. So again, I just want to thank Jennifer and Lauren for organising these. So they have sent me 4 whiskies. You've already seen 2 of them. So we have the Legacy. I'll do that one probably next week. We have the 12-year-old. That's the one we're focusing on today. But then I also have a couple of I have a UK exclusive here. Now, this is a UK exclusive 2006 Fino Sherry cask, bottled at 46%. Now, there you go. It doesn't even have a proper label. It's been written in pen on a white label. So that one's going to be special. And I've not opened any of these either, so I've not even had a wee nose at them. However, Tomatin also do a great range called Decades. So this is Decades 2, which I've never actually tried before, but I really, really like the concept. So I'll obviously tell you a little bit more about the concept of Decades, and then this is 46% alcohol by volume. So I do have four that we are going to be trying throughout the course of the time. So again, we're going to start here with the 12-year-old. Now I'm going to take one of my little whiskey glasses. I think this one is I can't even read that. Kilhoman. This is this glass came from Kilhoman Distillery in Islay. I have another one here as well from Dalwhinnie. I've got quite a few of these kind of little mini glasses. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to crack this open for the first time. You probably hear that. Lovely. So I'm going to pour that in. Oop. Don't need too much. We don't need too much. I'll finish the rest before I go to my bed. Probably. Now, what I like to do, so I've never done this on camera before. I have recorded a couple of videos before, but then never made them public. So what I like to do is I like to let this sit in the glass for a couple of minutes before we start doing anything to it. And that just kind of allows it to air out a little bit. So basically, I'll just tell you a little bit about it, a little bit more about it before we start getting into the tasting. So again, it's 12 years old. Now, what that means is the liquid inside of this bottle, the whiskey which is inside of this bottle, has been matured for a minimum of 12 years. That's not to say that there isn't any older whiskey in this. There could be a 1,000-year-old whiskey inside of this, but because the youngest whiskey that is in this bottle is 12 years old, it is the minimum age, okay? Again, I think I've mentioned a couple of times before, I'm not really into whiskey snobbery at all. If it tastes good, it tastes good. Just because it's older and it's more expensive and it's more rare does not make it a better whiskey. This non-age statement legacy here, in my opinion, could probably taste better than a 50-year-old whiskey. And this is, you know, less than £30 or around about £30 to buy a bottle, you know, in comparison to £30,000, £300,000, £3 million for a bottle of 50-year-old whiskey. And this one would somehow taste better. You know, snobber, I don't like it, but there you go. So it's 12 years old, it's 43% alcohol by volume. So if you want to know what the proof of that is, you double that. So that would be 86% proof. Probably being shouted at by my mum for my terrible mathematics, but I think that's what 43 plus 43 would be. I'm not into maths. I don't really do maths very well. So yeah, it's 12 years old, 43% alcohol by volume. So it spends most of its life in ex-bourbon casks. So these bourbon casks are brought over from America. Now, to make bourbon, you're only allowed to use the oak casks once. You can only, and it needs to be a virgin oak cask. So they basically make a bunch of casks out of virgin oak. They then, in America, they then mature their bourbon in it for however long. Then after that, they are no longer allowed to use that for bourbon making ever again. So what do? We buy them and we use them as many times as we want. We tend to stick usually around about 3, 4, 5 times, and then after that, they get discarded. So this one is matured mostly in a bourbon cask, and then after that, it spends between 6 and 9 months finishing in an Oloroso sherry cask. So on the bottle, it does say bourbon and sherry casks that it's been matured in. So it spends most of its life in an ex-bourbon cask, is then finished for around 6 to 9 months inside of an Oloroso sherry cask. And that just kind of brings out a little bit more sweetness and a bit more flavour. So what, I'm not a professional in any way. I just like, you know, if I like something, I want to kind of promote it out there for you. So, you know, I've read up about what the flavours should be in this. So until I kind of get a proper palate to it, I can't really kind of say for sure what flavours it is that I'm looking for. You know, I'm hoping to get to that point where I can do it for myself. So what I've done is I've kind of collated off of a few websites the sort of tasting notes that you would be expecting from the Tomatin 12.
So in the first initial taste, we should, it says here, we should get butter, raisins and almonds. Now, of course, again, there's no butter, there's no raisins and there's no almonds in this. You know, some people think that you know, it's like, oh, that tastes nutty, there must be nuts in it, I'm allergic to nuts kind of thing. There isn't. It gives you that reminder of butter, raisins and almonds. And then with the kind of first full sip, or on the tongue, you should get sort of an oaky vanilla, fresh mint, ginger and orange peel is what you should get as well, with the finish being currant buns, barley and raspberry jam. Now, all of that sounds absolutely bloody amazing, doesn't it? Of course it does. So my tasting kind of ritual is, again, we've left this in the glass, we've let it air out for a couple of minutes. You then want to nose it. Now, when you nose it, you don't just put it straight in and go and huff straight up. You're probably going to pass out, especially if it's, you know, on the higher end of the alcohol by volume scale. That's not what you want to do. You want to keep your mouth very slightly open, and you want to move the whiskey between each nostril, because you've got different receptors in every nostril. By keeping your mouth open, it will sort of come out, and then you'll start to taste it at the back of your throat before you've even actually tasted it. So we give it a right good nose before we start. Now, I'm definitely getting the vanilla side of things. It's kind of got in with the mint as well. Now, I know that's supposed to be in the taste, but you know how you get that kind of nice spearmint kind of effect at the back of your tongue when you have a bit of chewing gum or something like that. Now notice that this has just been poured straight from the bottle straight into the glass. I've not put anything else in this. There is no ice in this glass. There is nothing else in this glass whatsoever. I do have a glass of water, which I will I'll show you. This is basically my little ritual that I do for trying out new whiskies all the time. So you have it in your glass, you let it swirl around, you give it a right good nose. Now it's very sweet on the nose, but it also doesn't linger for very long, so it's quite a short nose. So what I mean by that is it doesn't sort of stick in your nostrils like some whiskies would. It sort of comes and then it leaves quite gracefully. A gracefully smelling whiskey. Yeah, it smells gorgeous. Let's give it a wee try. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have three sips, because the first sip is not going to give me the best interpretation of it. It's only going to be once my tongue has been kind of coated in the oils and the liquid, and then after the second and then the third, that's when you're going to start really tasting it. So the first little sip here. Now, a lot of people say keep it in your mouth for 12 seconds. 12 years old, keep it in your mouth for a minimum of 12 seconds. It's just whatever you're comfortable with, right? If you're only comfortable with keeping it there for a couple of seconds, fair enough. But, you know, you're going to start burning off your taste buds after a while, so... One last little nose. Now, without a doubt, the first flavour and the first taste of it is quite oaky. It's quite earthy. It is still sweet, but... Yeah, it is quite oaky and earthy. Now that's, again, you can't really taste anything for the first time on the first sip, because it's the first time that you've had it. It is quite spicy as well, but it's kind of quite a flat spice. It's not like, you know, it's not like hot spicy. It's just kind of like, oh, peppery, I would probably say, which kind of goes against everything, which it should.
as other professionals have said. So what we're going to do is we're going to go in for a second. Yeah, there you go. So a lot of that oakiness has kind of gone away. Like the kind of quite dark oakiness to it. And it's now sort of, yeah, starting to kind of level out a bit, get a wee bit sweeter. Still does have that sort of little tang at the back. So I think one of the flavours was ginger. And I think that's what it's reminding me of. It's reminding me of that sort of ginger, you know, kind of. Again, it's not spicy, but it's like, yeah, kind of, I don't know, kind of almost drying sort of thing. Excuse me. So yeah, we're going to go in for another, for the third. And yeah, there you go. It's really starting to. Yes. So now I'm really starting to get the barley that I'd mentioned. I'm not getting raspberry jam, but I'm definitely getting barley. Again, that's some of that oakiness is kind of still there. It is a little bit earthy, a little bit on the earthy side, but overall, it is a very nice and sweet. Kind of whiskey. Now what I'm going to be doing is I'm just going to put a little bit more back into the glass because I'm going to put some water in and especially show you what I do with the water. Now I like to start with one drop and then potentially progress to two. These are called the Angel's Tears. So what I've got is I've got a glass of water here and I'm going to take my fingers clean. I wash my hands before we started. So I'm just going to take my finger, I'm going to dip my finger into the water. And then when I bring my finger out, there'll be a drop of water right on the edge of my finger. And I'm just going to flick that into the glass. And I'm actually, that wasn't quite so successful. There we go. Just going to cleanse the palate a little bit. And just going to swirl that into the whiskey, make sure that the drops of water were there. Now see, that's just a couple of drops of water. Maybe that was even up to maybe three. Now that's bringing out the orange. So that's bringing it, that's to me is starting to bring out the orange peel. So you're starting to release flavors because, like again, as I mentioned in the whiskey episode, you put water into this and it's so see, there's like a layer of oil on the top, and when you break that with the water, it releases everything that's underneath and it brings it right the way up. So it changes the whole nose, it changes the flavor of the whiskey. It doesn't necessarily, it only starts to water your whiskey down when you start getting to the point of actually adding a huge amount of water into it, you know, even 50-50. I just find that wrong. But a couple of drops of water does help the whiskey as well. It gives, you know, starts to bring out some more of the complex flavours. So yeah, it's definitely kind of weakened it a little bit in the nose. It's still a wee hint of the spiciness, but it's definitely bringing out some sort of orange. And ginger, actually. Orange and ginger. So we'll give it, go for another sip. Yeah. Now, it's not very often that I would say this, but that's a little bit better. I'm not getting raspberry jam, but I am getting raspberry. That's actually quite interesting. That's the first time I think I've ever properly tasted that. Yeah, sort of a little bit of cinnamon. So that's kind of the current bun kind of thing coming out. Yeah, couple of drops of water in it. Oh, this is. So again, I'm very surprised, but that's improved this by all manners of yeah. I'm now starting to see it now. Again, I'm not getting the butter, but kind of, yeah, raisins almost and almonds as well, especially in the mouth. The afterwards, you're kind of getting, again, those kind of almost spices, a little bit peppery, but cinnamon, ginger, orange, for sure. And again, that sort of sweet kind of raspberry thing going on in the background too, which is very interesting. I'm just going to see if I just add another drop or two. And I'm literally just adding drops. Like, I'm not putting any huge amount of, like, you wouldn't be able to tell there was any water in that at all. Now that's marzipan. So another couple of drops, and then again it starts to release even more flavours. That was almost syrupy. So it was like breakfast syrup. What's that? Maple syrup. Breakfast syrup. But yeah. Almost sort of maple-y syrup. Now again, you know, this is something I'm not used to personally, is adding water to whiskey, but I'm doing it so that you can see that I've done it from essentially straight out the bottle to, yeah, so yeah, I would say 3-4 drops, and I mean literally drops off the end of your finger, not from a dropper or from any fancy device. Straw, just your finger in some water. Game changer. Yeah. So there you go. So that is the Tomatin 12, and that's made me a happy bunny. Pears and a subtle suggestion of nut before the long lingering pleasingly oily finish. I can see where the, so sorry, I'm reading this straight from the bottle rather than now from the tasting notes. Pears, I can kind of see that. Subtle suggestion of nut. That's probably where the marzipan comes into things. So yeah. Now, as a review, I think I've not even really settled on ratings as such. For me, I mean, if I had to put a number on it, it's a solid 7 every single time. There's just absolutely nothing wrong with the Tomatin whatsoever. As I say, I mean, I'll even quite happily take another couple of sips just kind of straight out the bottle again. Same glass that I was just on, so there'll still be a little bit of water in there, but yeah, it's super fruity. There's definitely a lot of fruit kind of things going on there. And yeah, as I say, just a kind of solid 7. Like, it'll never drop below that, and it'll never get sort of any better than that. And I mean, there's nothing better than having a good solid 7 kind of in there, you know. So yeah, I do recommend the Tomatin 12 year old. And I am hoping to have some interesting news for you in regards to the Tomatin Ranges. Hopefully I'll tag it on at the end of this episode. But there you go, Tomatin 12-year-old single malt from up in the Highlands of Scotland. The Scottish History Podcast rating, a good 7 out of 10. You can't beat it. Couple of splashes of water and it brings it to life. However, even now, even after, yeah, that's again just another one sort of straight out of the bottle, just mixing with what was already in the glass there. Perfect, absolutely perfect. Solid 7 out of 10. So folks, thank you very much for staying put and watching us. Hopefully as the episodes go on, they won't be quite as long. As we, you know, as you kind of start to get used to it, and as I start getting used to this. But at the end of the day, Tomatin 12-year-old single malt, if you can grab yourself a hold of it, once again, here it is. If you can grab yourself a hold of a bottle of it, then do it. It is one worth keeping up there. Prices online, certainly for the UK, are anywhere between £35 to £45-ish. And it's a well worthy addition to your liquor cabinet. So yeah. So for this week on the Whiskey Wednesday, Scottish History Podcast Whiskey Wednesday, Tomatin 12-year-old, 7 out of 10. Can't beat it. It's just, it is what it is. So folks, I'll see you again next week. Cheers. So Tomatin Distillery have very kindly decided to offer the listeners of the Scottish History Podcast an exclusive 10% discount off of any of the following from their website. So you can, so when you order the Tomatin Legacy, the 12-year-old, the Cask Strength, the 14-year-old, the 18-year-old, or the UK exclusive 2006 Fino and Decades 2. So if you fancy purchasing a bottle of either of those from their shop, which is tomatindistillery.shop, that's tomatindistillery.shop. I'll have that down at the bottom here somewhere, or up here-ish, so that you can find it. So when you go there and you go to the checkout and enter the discount code SCOTPOD, so SCOTPOD, all one word. So if you enter in that as the discount code, you will get 10% off of their Legacy 12-year-old, Cask Strength 14, 18, the 2006 UK exclusive Fino and Decades 2. So if you go to buy a bottle of that, you'll get 10% off, which I think is an absolutely fantastic gesture from a fantastic whiskey distillery. So once again, that's tomatindistillery.shop. Enter the discount code SCOTPOD to receive 10% off of your purchase.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.